Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm great. Back from vacation, although Monday, what was with the horizontal snow flurries? Did you see those?
Yeah, I did. I had a meeting, and I'm like, is it snowing? It's 45 degrees.
I know. It was 46 degrees in my car, and I really thought it was the cherry blossoms until I realized it, when it hit the windshield. It was really snow. Crazy.
That's ready for Atlanta. How many times did it snow this year? Like six times?
Yeah. Definitely more than it should, given the fact that we're in Atlanta. We've got two very interesting guests today, Lee. Both very serious. You know, sometimes we have some playful guests. Today, we have some really interesting things to talk about. First up, we have Pat Huddleston, who served in the Enforcement Division of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission from 1990 to 1996. And he has a really interesting business that I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about. He's motivated by the desire to protect investors from falling victim to reckless brokers, and professional scam artists. Pat, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thanks, Amy.
Tell us a little about Investors Watchdog.
Investors Watchdog is a private investor protection company. We use my SEC experience to protect seniors and baby boomers from losing their life savings.
That's a big job. How did you get interested in this?
You know, after I left the SEC in 1996, I continued to represent investors in private practice. And during the course of that time, I had to tell several elderly folks that they had lost their life savings. And unfortunately, the money wasn't coming back because they hadn't lost it to a deep pocket. And about 2 years ago, after I was showing one such fellow to the door, it hit me like a thunderclap standing there at the front door that I ought to get off my can and try to do something about this instead of continuing to have those conversations. And so that was the moment that it was born.
What were you doing before you were in the SEC? Were you a broker?
I was not. No, I was an attorney in an insurance defense practice and found that I didn't enjoy representing Goliath. I really had a heart for David and so decided to find a way to help folks.
Wow, that's your background probably really helps and adds to your passion, I would imagine.
It does.
What kind of trends are you seeing?
Well, first of all, we're seeing more investment scams, and that's really driven by the fact that the first wave of baby boomers is retiring this year. First wave is turning 62, taking their money out of 401k plans and putting it into the securities market, so there's just more money at play. The other trends that we're seeing are the use of technology in these scams. Mm-hmm. The scam artists are more sophisticated. They use internet technology to make themselves look more credible. And they're just a lot harder to detect to the untrained eye.
Are the bad guys individuals or are these big companies that are kind of really doing bad things?
It's both, Lee. I mean, it runs the gamut from an individual broker who trades just so he can earn a commission as opposed to doing anything good for his client, all the way up to pretty sophisticated organizations. I mean, there have been stories about how organized crime is involved in what we call pump and dump schemes, creating fictitious companies and selling their shares, fewer kneecaps to break in that kind of job. But still, people wind up losing what they worked a lifetime to save.
When these people are caught, what kind of penalties do they get? Are they in jail for the rest of their lives, or this kind of they just pay a fine and get out of it?
It really depends. The SEC is a civil enforcement agency, so they can bar somebody from the industry or make them pay money back, but they can't, on their own authority, send somebody to prison. It's really up to the local prosecutors or the U.S. Attorney's Office to decide whether they're going to follow the SEC with a criminal case. Quite often, these guys do go to jail. What's interesting, though, is you see many of them, as soon as they're out, they go right back to the next scam.
Wow.
Because not all of them go to jail. You sometimes you get away with it, and the returns are so high.
Right, and the risk is so low.
Exactly. So they go right back to it.
So what does Investors Watchdog do to help protect people?
At the very base level, we help people choose a broker or an advisor to deal with. We're the only source for a full report on a broker. We check 7-8 different sources, including sources that aren't available to most investors. I'll give you an example. FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, is the self-regulatory organization for brokers. You can get a free report on your broker from them, but it won't include everything. A broker, for the past 20 years, brokers have had actions expunged from their record. And if you go to FINRA, you won't find out whether you've got somebody who's got a whitewashed record as opposed to a clean record. Well, we've got those records in our database. We found a source for them, and now we've got them. In fact, I found a broker down in Miami just recently who had a completely clean record, if you ask FINRA. She's got 10 customer complaints in our database. So we help people find brokers, help tell you whether your broker's got a history of customer abuse. Mm-hmm. And all the way up to we'll follow that broker on a quarterly basis if you want us to do that. And then regarding investment scams, we'll qualify those scams. We'll take a look at every page of the offering documents. We'll do an investigation of the people involved. The first one of those we did, we actually saved a church out in Arizona from losing $500,000. They had been pitched an investment scheme. Our investigation showed that the guy who was promoting it was using an assumed name, you know, had two bankruptcies and some criminal right. history. And that's something that they couldn't have found through their own investigation.
Oh, so is this a recent part of your business? Because initially, weren't you just about the brokers? Is this part of the evolution of your business?
Nah, it's been around a while. I mean, it's a higher price product, I guess, because uh-huh. because we have to do so much more work to do it, and so we don't sell as many of those sure. just yet as we do of the broker snapshot reports. But it's always been out there.
What size investment would it be in order for you to be affordable to check it out? What would you recommend?
It would be affordable for most baby boomers and seniors because what they get pitched is a six-figure investment. Mm-hmm. Usually these things have very high minimums.
Uh-huh.
And our qualify analysis, which is what it's called, is, I believe, $679 to save $100,000.
Right. So anything in the six-figure range, if you're thinking of investing, would be wise then to have you kind of take a look-see.
You would. And the other thing that helps is that if even one person pays us that to check it out and we find out that it's a scam, if you as the client give us your permission, well, I'm calling the SEC. I'm going to say, listen, I found a scam you don't know about yet.
Right.
And so not only does that investor get saved, but everybody who might have come out afterwards
sure.
Finds out about it.
So you mentioned that your target market is baby boomers and seniors. Business owners or just people with individual investments?
Anybody. Anybody who's saved for that retirement and is getting close to it.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So a broker in a big firm is somebody you should check out as well? Like just because they're working for a big firm doesn't mean necessarily that they as an individual are doing something shady?
That's a fantastic question because people think that the big firm name is right. sort of a layer of protection.
That they checked it out for
right.
me.
Yeah, that is absolutely no protection. We find very bad brokers in very big firms. I mean, the name of the game. And listen, there's nothing wrong with making money in the securities industry, and those big firms are in it to make money. And so who do they hire? They hire the people who produce the most money, the best salesmen. And if you're good enough, they're willing to overlook some customer complaints to keep you on board. They really become like professional athletes, because if Merrill Lynch has one and Smith Barney wants him, they get paid signing bonuses. I mean, multi-million dollar signing bonuses to move from one firm to another.
Because they bring their clients with them in their clients' accounts.
That's exactly right.
Wow. Yeah. That was a great question because in the back of my mind, I was just thinking, well, if you just go with a big name, you're protected. But it sounds like you're not.
No, you're not.
Wow.
That's scary.
That is really scary. Actually, that's very scary to me.
And then, say you catch one of these brokers, is that big firm now culpable because they allowed a broker that had 10 complaints to work for them?
They are. They're required to supervise. The rules require them to know what's going on, and they do have compliance computers that spit out unusual trades that managers are supposed to follow up on. But as we were talking about before we started the show, the manager gets a cut of everything the broker brings in. So what's his incentive to
right.
really clamp down on somebody who's trying to make him money?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds
and
pretty
if the
sneaky.
Client's not complaining, then right?
Exactly right. And the client just may not know any better.
Right. And any of that gets to another point. The client may not know any better. Why do people continue to fall for these scams? I'm gullible. I didn't know all this existed. But what is the number one reason? I mean, why do people continue to fall for the scams?
Yeah, a couple of reasons. First of all, the people who pitch these things are master salesmen. I mean, you can take the best lawyer in the world. How good is he at the law? Well, the best salesman in the world is just as good at his job. I mean, stockbrokers go to sales training. Most of the training they get is sales training, how to convince you to do what they want you to do. The other thing is that people fall for them because they are pitched by people they trust. Oftentimes, your insurance agent or your accountant, somebody you go to church with, may be pitching something, and you think, I've known this person 10, 20 years, all my life maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't do anything illegal. Well, what you don't know is that what they're pitching is something that they've been sold by somebody higher up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they fall for it because they come from credible sources or people who are able to establish that credibility through their sales training.
So is there anything you offer as far as free education or seminars? Because, you know, this is all new to me. I'm sure there are a lot of our listeners that aren't all that educated. Anything you offer?
Yeah, you can go to our blog. You get to that through our website, which is www.investorswatchdog.com. And you can then click on Investors Watch blog. And every day I've got two or three scams to choose from to blog on. That's how bad it is.
There's no shortage.
There's no shortage, no. In addition, at the website, you can find out for free whether a broker that you're considering using is in our database. We'll send you an email, yes, he's in our database, no, he's not yet in our database.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can make a decision. If he's there, hey, I want to check him out. If he's not, that doesn't mean he's clean. It just means that we haven't gotten him in the database yet.
But your database isn't filled with only not clean brokers, is it?
I'm sorry?
Your database, is that, if they're in your database, does that mean that...
That means they've got a customer complaint.
Complaint.
Yeah,
wow, okay.
That's right.
So that means that...
If they're in the database, you ought to find out why.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
And then, you know, and then the other thing we do is on the website, I've got a lot of articles that I've written, just basic investor education things.
I noticed that. You've been quoted in a lot of different publications.
I have. It's been a real blessing, yeah.
That's wow, Lee. Yeah, the other thing I need to know is about the is it Ponzi?
Ponzi schemes, yeah.
Ponzi schemes. Where have I been living? I've never
from
heard
Kansas.
Of it.
They don't have Ponzi schemes in Kansas.
You know, they have people there though that sell oil wells that are dry,
and
they sell, you know, heads of cattle that are supposed to be something they're not. So I guess that's somewhat of a scheme.
We do. We see those. I mean, I'm sure I blogged on a Ponzi scheme from Kansas before. You should check it out on the website. We've got them broken down by state. A Ponzi scheme is just, it can take any different shape. It's limited only by the imagination of the Ponzi operator. Named after Charles Ponzi, a guy who ran a notorious scheme around the turn of the century, turn of the 20th century. And then the hallmarks of it are that there really is no return on the investment. People who invest early get money back, and they think that they're getting a great profit, but what they're really getting are the principal that's invested by later investors. And so those things can run for as long as an operator can keep attracting new suckers. And I think telling you before we started, I ran across one recently in Utah that had been running for 17 years. And that's, if you've got a good salesman, he can keep attracting new people, keep the cash flow that he needs to pay off the earlier people, and it's just devastating.
It is, gosh.
That's scary.
It is really scary. I have got to go to the blog and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's eye-opening. I mean, I look at that for someone to lose their retirement. You know, you work so hard. That would, in the years it should be wonderful to not have what you put aside for would really be...
It's devastating.
I mean, it is. It really is.
Well, you're right to focus on that. I mean, you think about the real-life consequences. I mean, you may have planned to live in a nice retirement community, and instead you're either living with your family...
Or you're working again.
Or you're working
you
again.
You weren't going to work anymore.
Yeah. Or and maybe the end of the road for you was a nice, comfortable place that had medical facilities. Now the end of the road for you is a Medicaid nursing home.
Mm, wow.
And it's
yeah,
really
daunting.
Devastating. Yeah.
Wow.
So be sure to check out his website.
Absolutely. Can you give that to us one more time?
Thank you. Yes, it's www.investorswatchdog.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Next, we have Dr. Shelley Nigola, who's the founder and CEO of Power of Women Seminars, Life Tools and Enterprises. She's an author, a speaker, and it sounds like just an incredible woman. Anxious to get to know you a little bit better. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Dr. Nigola.
Thank you so very much, Amy.
So tell us a little bit about how you got started in the business of speaking and specifically focused on women.
Well, I actually began to look for a way of living a life that was extraordinary when I was in my teens, because I grew up in very difficult family circumstances. And so I've spent my entire life looking for how to create true satisfaction and then bring that out into my life. And went on a very great journey and came to a place of understanding with myself and an experience of transformation that was so profound that I started to speak with women. Because I know that women are the stronghold of the family and of our communities, and really bringing the nurturing experience to who we are in life. And without us being clear with who we are, very often, you know, it gets lost in the mix. We become as good as the next deal or the next thing that we're doing on our list, which is a major complaint for women in the world.
You have a lot of credibility being married for 36 years and the mother of two.
Yes.
Living a very busy life as a consultant, an author, a speaker. I'd love to know what inspired your book. Can you tell us a little bit about The Mother in the Mirror?
Oh, The Master in the Mirror.
The Master in the Mirror. The Mother in the Mirror.
Really, The Mother in the Mirror.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, The Master in the Mirror really is about ourselves being really clear with ourselves, because we're the masters of our lives. And there's really nothing outside of us that really can give us that experience. We're always looking for that extra piece of life, you know? And The Master in the Mirror actually deals with ourselves individually within ourselves to discover a place of being able to create and be fully present in the world without all of the past history influencing any kind of an outcome. Do you know what I'm saying by that? Because so often we have past experiences that actually get in the way of our being really great and producing the kinds of results that we are capable of producing. And very often those background experiences and background patterns get in the way of having our greatness and experiencing who we are in the world.
So how does somebody get past that?
By taking my seminar.
It's that simple?
The Power of Woman. Yes, in a manner. It actually begins with a woman being clear that what she wants to do is get on with a certain way of being in life, that she feels that there's something missing. And most of the women that I've spoken to over the years, no matter how successful, feel like there's something missing. They feel like there's a lack of balance, or there's something in relationship, or something the way they feel about how they are in their lives. When I was a recruiter, I was an executive recruiter. I was a headhunter at one point in my life. I did that for 12 years, and I worked for a corporate organization, $250 million company, and I was their number one recruiter. And no matter what I did, no matter how many deals I closed, I never felt like there was enough. My paycheck, it was never enough. I was always as good as the next deal I was doing. So I was looking for some other way of being in my life that was going to get beyond that feeling of there's it was never enough.
Interesting. You know, because women are pulled in so many different directions.
Exactly.
And it sounds like you try to help women take control, but what are some of the tools you use? You mentioned your seminar, but is there any like simple tool that people can start with?
Well, it actually begins with first being clear about your commitment to a quality of life. That's the very first thing, because most of us don't realize that we're shaped by our circumstances. So first, to begin to be committed to a quality of life is critical, and then beginning to slow ourselves down. We think that if we speed up all the time, that we're going to accomplish more, and most of us are on this vicious treadmill. What about if we actually were to slow down by taking breaths, slowing our physicalness down, actually slowing down? It's kind of a meditative kind of an endeavor, although it's not meditation. And actually slowing down, because that gives us access to more of our power as physical experience, not just something that we're thinking of between our heads. Because most of the time we think if we have positive thoughts, then everything's going to turn out okay. But what I'm speaking about is accessing a place, again, within ourselves, and it is a physical experience that gives us access to more of our ability to produce results in our lives. So slowing down is the next piece to beginning to access that place that I'm speaking of. And then there are very specific tools which are going to be very difficult to go into by radio to be able to speak further about that. But Power of Woman, what it does is it gives women a foundation for being able to access and create that experience of one's power from a physical experience, and then being able to bring that out into one's life and let go of the things that literally get in the way.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the seminar. How often do you have these seminars?
Well, I teach them about every 6 weeks in Atlanta. My next one is April the 25th, 6th, and 7th.
And then is it a weekend thing? Or one
it is.
Day?
It is a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday.
And where does it take place, this one in April?
It takes place in Buckhead at a place called Plantation at Lenox. And it is a very intimate kind of personal experience. And it supports women in balancing and getting to a greater experience of success and satisfaction within themselves and being able to balance their lives so that they have that greater experience of satisfaction in their personal and professional life.
Is it more for executive women or all walks of life?
All walks of life, although most of the women that come to the program are executive people or entrepreneurial.
Hmm.
Yes.
In these seminars you give, what do you think is the most common habit that women have a hard time overcoming?
Their relationship issues.
Relationship issues, really?
Seriously. And also being okay with themselves.
Hmm. Interesting.
They really don't have it. I mean, I work with mega millionaires all the time, and they still don't feel okay with themselves. They're still balancing their life, and they always feel like there's something out there that they have to do so that they feel okay.
Wow. You've been mentoring women for over 25 years. Who are some of the female mentors you had?
Oh, my goodness. Actually, I had one many, many years ago who supported me, and we got together with a group of women. I'm not going to mention her name, but we got together with a group of women for about a year and a half, and she actually supported each and every one of us in getting to a deeper experience with our lives from within ourselves. It was a personal experience. But most of the work that I did really wasn't necessarily with women. I did all kinds of personal development programs before I developed my own program.
And how long has your program been in existence?
Over 16 years.
Wow.
I teach it across the country, by the way.
I was going to say, yeah. you have taught, I noticed from your website, which is very full of information. Can you give us the website?
It's powerofwomanseminars.com. So it's woman singular and seminar with an S.
So your next one in Atlanta is at the end of April, but you have them... Is that what you do every month you're out somewhere?
About every 6 weeks or so. I am going to be teaching a free event this weekend called Having It All, which will be at the Woolton Chiropractic Center in Alpharetta, and that's from 1:30 to 4, and that's on Saturday, January the 29th.
And how do people get involved in that?
They can call the phone number 770-965-9675 for more information. Also, they can email at powerofwomanseminars@charter.net.
And you strictly deal with women in these situations, correct?
Yes, I do. But my husband and I do workshops together for relationships.
Do you?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that?
Also, for almost as long.
Wow. I would imagine there's multifaceted components. I mean, once you dig a little bit deeper into why someone's not happy, there's all kinds of issues, family.
Yeah, it does go really deep, Amy. But the thing of it is when we get clear with ourselves, when we start to feel fully satisfied with ourselves, a whole different outcome in our personal life and our professional life occurs. And I've seen that happen time after time, year after year, with no matter what the person's background is.
Lee, any final thoughts?
I'm going to check out the seminars.
Yeah, I bet your wife would love them.
I'll tell her.
Hmm. Shelley, thank you so much for being with us this morning. And what is the best way for someone to reach you?
The best way to reach me would be Power of Woman Seminars. That's POWEROF WOMANSEMINARS @charter.net.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being our guest today. And thank you to Pat.
Pleasure.
And we'll look forward to hearing how both of your businesses grow in the future. And for now, thank you so much for listening to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, and I hope you have a wonderful day.